This is Morning Edition from NPR News. With Steve Inskeep in Baghdad, I'm Renee Montaigne. Wind energy is growing fast, but some people don't like the wind turbines. They say they're ugly. An offshore project has been proposed in Massachusetts, but beachfront landowners are trying to stop it. One solution is to put the turbines in the ocean, where they are fewer eyes to offend. And a pair of entrepreneurs in Louisiana are in the running to be the first in the nation to build a wind farm in the ocean if they can get the approval and the money. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
Southern Louisiana means crawfish, oil rigs, and Zydeco music. It's a young crowd at the Blue Moon Cafe in Lafayette, but everyone recognizes a tanned and weathered 66-year-old man named Harold Scheffler. His daughter owns the place, but more important, Scheffler's a prominent environmentalist. He says it comes naturally.
You know, I live the outdoors. I'm out in the swamp, I'm fishing in the Gulf, I'm hunting deer, rabbit, squirrel, woodcock. We have a 60-day duck season, and I'll probably hunt 40 days of the 60.
Scheffler's a regular churchgoer and a Boy Scout leader. He joined the Sierra Club over 30 years ago and runs the local chapter. As for a living, well, he owns a Cadillac dealership and sells gas-guzzling cars to the local high rollers.
To all the guys who are out there polluting the hell out of the world, you know, who are running the engineering companies, the dredging companies, to even to the guys that we've had an adversarial role, they still buy cars from us. Amazing.
Scheffler sees no conflict between selling V8s and being a Sierra Club leader who sometimes has to sue his customers to protect the environment. In one lawsuit, to stop a dredging project, Scheffler consulted an expert for advice, a bear-sized engineer named Herman Schelsted. They've been friends ever since. And now these two men have hatched a plan to build 50 giant wind turbines out in the Gulf of Mexico.
This is Galveston Island, and see that line? That is our power line, and this is our two blocks, you see, 18 square miles.
Schelsted hardly needs a map of the Gulf. He's built rigs there all his life. He rode out a hurricane on a rig once. He says the days of oil and gas are numbered. Scheffler convinced him that offshore wind technology was not some sort of pipe dream.
We found out that in Europe, it had been proven technology, and of course on land, it had been proven. So we took the land technology, modified it, and then made a plan.
The plan is to spend $250 million to build a wind farm that will generate as much power as a small coal-fired plant. To do it, Schelsted and Scheffler formed Wind Energy Systems Technologies, housed in a former girls' school at a convent in New Iberia. Paintings of nuns still hang on the walls. Schelsted says by combining oil rig and wind turbine designs, his turbines can withstand Gulf hurricanes and generate electricity cheap enough to compete with coal and natural gas. He says he can save money by using local talent, people who built the Gulf's oil and gas platforms, like Twin Brothers Marine, a sprawling fabrication plant that sits behind sugarcane fields on the Louisiana coast. A stroll through the plant with Harold Scheffler and company engineer B.C. Fernandez gives a sense of how big these structures will be. Steel plates 3.5 inches thick are rolled like so much cheese into tubular pipe. You can stand inside some of these pipes. They're used to build the underwater foundations for oil and gas platforms, and they do the same for a 280-foot-high wind tower. Twin Brothers hasn't built one yet, but Fernandez and Scheffler say it's time.
We like the windmill idea because I think America has to reduce its dependency on petroleum products. It's part of the wave of the future, and at the cost of gasoline, oil, natural gas, it's economically feasible now.
It's not a conflict with oil and gas. What it does is prolong the life of oil and gas.
There is the question of the ocean view. The Gulf is a big vacation spot. But Schelsted claims these are friendly coastlines. People are used to seeing big metal on the horizon, and the turbines will be 8 miles offshore.
If you were there having a martini on the beach, if you look very carefully, you'd probably be seeing the tips of the blades.
But birds could be a problem. Environmentalists say the 125-foot-long blades might kill too many. Schelsted says he'll pay to do the research to find out, but he worries He notes that the nation's first offshore wind venture, the Cape Wind Project in Massachusetts, was stalled by unexpected local resistance.
We cannot fall into the Cape Wind situation and have money thrown at the wall, you know, and nothing happens. That's not reasonable. So we're excited but cautious.
To see why birds are important to this, you need to go to Galveston. It's a spit of land nearest to where the wind farm will be, and it's the first landfall for millions of migrating birds that will fly over the wind farm.
Welcome aboard the ferry vessel, the West Sea Greer.
From Galveston, you take a ferry to the mainland and drive up the coast to a place called High Island. It's higher by a few feet than the Pan Flat scrubland. There's water oak and hackberry trees. The birds love it. At the Houston Audubon Society's Boy Scout Sanctuary, binocular bird watchers count off the migrating species. Blue-headed vireos, wood thrushes.
Orchard orioles, northern orioles, summer tanagers, scarlet tanagers.
Audubon's Winnie Burkett is the refuge guide, and she's on a team of environmentalists that's monitoring the Galveston Wind Project.
What happens that we worry about is that weather events will concentrate birds. A front comes and the birds are pushed together. And on those days, you might have a million birds together. And they go through a wind farm, and what happens?
They could get chopped up. Biologists say migrating birds normally fly higher than where the turbine blades will be unless bad weather pushes them lower. So the project designers will put two towers in the Gulf where radar and infrared cameras will track bird flight patterns. But Burkett isn't convinced that these will get a true picture of the migration. She says it's something of a dilemma for environmentalists.
We want wind power, but there may be places that wind generation is inappropriate, and we feel that might be the Texas coast. I think it's up to us to learn about how we can avoid them or how we can have... Look, turn around. It's a wood thrush. He's right here. Do you see him? Now he's probably just come in. So he's come in tired off the Gulf. And that's what it's about.
The Texas coast is a bird paradise, but it's also wind paradise. Texas is second only to California in wind energy, and the project has an enthusiastic backer in Texas, Jerry Patterson. He's the commissioner of the General Land Office, which leases tracts in Texas waters, traditionally for oil and gas drilling. Patterson was a Marine pilot. He decorates his office in Austin with his gun collection, and as a state senator, he sponsored a law to allow Texans to carry concealed weapons. In fact, he's got one in his boot.
It's a five-shot 22 Magnum revolver, smokeless powder.
Patterson knows he's an unlikely wind advocate, but he views wind as a bargain.
The nice thing about it, it's energy income. One kind of energy is going to go away. That's the hydrocarbon base. We think wind energy is going to be here to stay for, you know, hundreds of years to come. Certainly hope so. When the wind stops blowing, we've got some bigger problems.
Patterson leased the Galveston Wind Project the offshore tracts it needed. He says the only valid obstacle is the danger to birds, but he thinks that can be solved.
We're going to do everything we can to mitigate the impact. Changing the location of the wind farm, shutting them down during migration, changing the structure of the platform so it's not inviting for birds to rest. You know, we're going to have offshore wind off the Texas coast.
And he and his Louisiana partners hope before Massachusetts does. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Questions and answers about wind turbines are at npr.org.